You're about to hear a message from the team at C3 Church Bethel. We pray that this message will inspire you to live your best life and bring life to the people around you.
Come with me to Genesis 12. Let's go deep today. I want to share with you just a word on my heart for our church, our context, and to hope you get really encouraged by the pattern that we see in Scripture. There's an amazing, amazing pattern. The Bible is full of patterns and frameworks, and this is one. This is an absolute beauty here, right in Genesis 12. Many of you might know about a man called Abraham, who was his family were traveling around from Mesopotamia, the Middle East, and then kind of headed up around the top, and the family settled down for a while, and then God actually spoke to this man called Abraham. We're talking, you know, a couple thousand years before Christ. It's kind of old. But the Bible has this record of a man called Abraham. And right at the beginning, God speaks to him. Now, God, this is pre-Moses, pre-law, pre-Jesus, everything. This is kind of right at the beginning of when God is starting to do something. The people have had a pretty tough time. I mean, people were created and had all kinds of issues because they essentially rebelled against God, and it brought a lot of pain and trial. And what we see here in Genesis 12 is the beginning of an unfolding plan that is still at work today. This is the beginning of the plan, you believe? Right here. Let's read it. The Lord said to Abram, "Go forth from your country, from your relatives, and from your father's house to the land," it's Genesis 12, 1 to 3, "to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing, and I shall bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." This is a phenomenal scripture. Let me just unpack that a little bit. It says, go forth from your country, leave, get up, go for a walk. Leave your relatives, leave everything behind. Go out from this place, from your father's house. Leave home, Abram. His name was Abram back then, sorry. And go to the land which I will show you. Much has been said about that land. But you've got to understand back then that, well, there was no map, no guide, and not even a place to go to. It wasn't like he was saying, go to this place or that place. It was just go to the land, and I'll show you as you go. How true is that of life? Often we step out in life. We don't, you know, when I got married, not a new row, I thought I did. You've got any idea of what you're about to embark on? When you start a job, you know, or career, or, you know, we end up at university or something, and I studied environmental economics. I didn't have a clue what I was doing. I became a pastor. You know, like we start on these things and often we trust God in the process. But this is a promise. I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you. And I'll make your name great. You see, the first bit is about a wandering and a searching and a looking, isn't it? It's about a journey. It's not a destination. It's a wandering. The second bit is about taking possession. It's about owning. It's about being planted. It's about finding a foothold somewhere. That's why he says, I'll make you a great nation. I'll make you into a great nation is what he's saying. And I'll bless you and I'll make your name great. People will, thousands, like 4,000 or 5,000 years on, still be talking about you is what he's saying. Isn't that true? How many, by the way, how many people call Abram as their father in the world? You add that up. Christians, Muslims, Jews, at least half the world's population. Right? Is there a greater man? Wow. So this verse actually is true. But then the third bit, and so you should be a blessing. There's a wandering, there's an establishment, and there's an expansion, a global blessing, you see? It says, I'll bless those who bless you. In the one who curses you, I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. because of this nation that I create, every nation, tribe, and tongue will know about it. Expansion, global influence. So I just simply want to take those three things, the wandering, the possession, and the expansion or the influence, and unpack that for you. Well, let's talk about the wandering. You know, Abram, you might know, he was kind of old this time. And God said, I'll make you a great nation, which is fine, except what do you need to do that? You need children, you need a son, you need a daughter. He didn't have that. Sarah was 90. You know, it's impossible. It's a great story, but Isaac was born from this child of promise. He actually came about because God miraculously intervened. And then Isaac gave birth to Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. The 12 sons became 12 tribes of Israel. But you might know the story that they faced a great big drought in the land that they were living in, the land of Canaan. And so they went to Egypt to kind of get food and water. And you know the story of Joseph, perhaps, who engineered all that. But the bottom line is that for 400 years, God's people were stuck in Egypt in a place that wasn't the promise. It wasn't the place which God had ordained for them. That was the land of Canaan. But here they were in Egypt, which is good to start with because it got them out of famine. But after a while, the Egyptians thought, here's some great slave labor, you know. Let's crack out the whip and, you know, let's get them going. And so they were there for 400 years until finally God did something. And Moses was raised up to rescue his people. And there's an amazing story of how he did that. You know, there's fire and frogs, floods, rivers of red. You know, the 10 plagues that happened that released God's people. God's people ran away and escaped, and the Red Sea crossing happened, and you know, Pharaoh's army chasing them down, and they escaped into the Red Sea. Finally, they're into the wilderness before the promised land. Journey. Isn't this a journey? Abram's not alive anymore, but he's kind of thinking, I wonder how long this thing's going to take. I wonder if he's looking down from heaven going, man, I'm not there. And that's just the beginning. And then for 40 years, they are moving from Egypt back up to the land. And it only takes 11 days along the road, it says in the start of Deuteronomy. But because they don't think it could happen, God says, you know what? Let's take the long road. 40 years, and it could have taken 11 days because they didn't believe that God could do it. 40 years. God led them by a pillar of cloud, you know, by day and smoke column by night, and they were led and provided for quite amazingly. So they'd have manna from heaven, this sort of bread stuff that would drop every night, and they'd go and collect it, and then they grumbled and said, oh, we want meat. We want meat. I'll give you meat. So this whole bunch of quails would turn up every night. I mean, we're talking millions of people, 40 years, supernaturally provided for. Their shoes didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out. Sometimes they'd get water from a rock. Moses would find rock. So it was a supernatural move of God to provide for these people. And then they get to that place. Why do the wandering bit? Ever been in a wandering place? God, I don't really appreciate the wandering or the lack of not knowing or the lack of provision or the, you know, I just want to settle down. Bro and I moved 10 times in the first 10 years of marriage. Oh, that's like, maybe you have too, you know, house to house to house. When are we ever going to be in one house? Bit like church as well. We had a wandering church for quite a while. She started off in our lounge room, barbecues and things, and we started launching a public service in the cinema. And Bathurst High, we went to Mount for a while, didn't we? We went to BMEC for a while, we used the Con, we used a few other places, Pitcher Straight, and all through this. I'm not really enjoying this packing up and sitting down. You remember Dash? In with your chairs, and we'd count them and get to the Bathurst High Hall and to be set up for exams. 100 exam tables set up. Please, not exam season. What does it do? It builds your faith muscles. It builds your commitment. It builds your perseverance to move around and wander. But I'm telling you, it's not the future. not the future. It wasn't the future for Israel. The most amazing thing starts happening is that the whole point of them is to take possession of the land. And so they after the 40 years wilderness, Moses doesn't go with them. He says goodbye and puts Joshua and says, hey, Joshua is now your man. Listen to Joshua. He's your new leader. Joshua goes, yes, sir. And Joshua says, right, we're going to cross the river, the Jordan River, because they're standing on the other side. The whole book of Deuteronomy is a great big message preached to all God's people, and they're facing the promised land. Finally, the start of Joshua, they get ready to cross the land, and they send people first. The sea opens up, and they start taking the land. And God says to Joshua in Joshua 1:6, he says, be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land, which I swore to their fathers to give them. He says to Joshua, it's your turn, Joshua. It's your turn to take this mantle and to carry it and to possess the land. Now, the thing about possessing the land is that, well, there's people in the land right now, like other nations, you know, like it's owned. And it probably wouldn't be politically correct and wouldn't go down to well in our day, but they fought for it and they conquered it. City by city, tribe by tribe, they did it. Until the end when Joshua 21:45 says, not one of the good promises that the Lord made to the house of Israel failed or came to pass. They actually conquered the whole land, bit by bit. They actually did what they'd been set out to do. And do you know what was really interesting? Is that as soon as they crossed into the land, guess what stopped? The manna from heaven stopped. The quails stopped visiting them. It says this in Joshua 5, that manna ceased on the day after they had eaten some of the produce of the land, so that the sons of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate some of the yield of the land of Canaan during that year. Now, it's their responsibility to sow and to reap, plant crops and to gather the crops. See, there's a shift in thinking here. See, I've met Christians. I mean, I've been in that place. I've lived from day to day. I've kind of been dependent. Ro and I did some mission work where we had zero money and people would give us pineapples in the middle of Thailand and we'd be, ew, we've got some food. It's fantastic. Yeah. I know what that's like to live from day to day, but it's not the future. God didn't intend his people to stay in the wilderness for 40 years, for 400 years, for 4 million years. Intended them to take their land and to take responsibility and to sow and reap, to own the land, possess the land, and to build a heritage for their future. That's the exciting part. And that's where our church is right now. It's no longer about renting a place or just moving from place to place, bit to bit. It's actually about, no, let's see something for the future. Can you see the pattern in Scripture? Is to establish a permanent home, a place where we can come and go. Yeah, done. 5 years, almost 5 years. Not a move, eh? 5 years. But it's not just about so we don't have to pack up and sit down. Actually, wouldn't it be amazing if we could establish a place to reach into the Central West? I love the city of Bathurst. It is the gateway to the Central West. You think about it in every way. You think of the amount of trucks that drive through this city. Like if Bathurst was cut off, where would Orange get its food source from? It grows a bit itself, I know. A bit of wine. A few peaches. But you think, railway comes through here. The main road comes through here. The river comes through here. I've been to the source of the river, the Macquarie River. Way up beyond Black Springs. Got in my car and I found it. Something significant about being at the head of a catchment. Oh, no, that's still. But Bathurst is strategically positioned right here. The Central West opens out before us. Wouldn't it be awesome to establish a base here to increase the kingdom of God out here? Hub for the Central West? Place of expansion further out? Maybe if our first 10 years, I'm getting ahead of myself. Maybe our first 10 years is a bit of wandering. Maybe the next 10 years is about possessing and owning and finding a place, a heritage. Maybe the third decade of the church, maybe that's a serious push out. Because let's look at this. Third thing is global influence. It's the rest of the story. Remember that God said to Abraham that you'll be a blessing to every nation on earth? What he promised in Genesis 12:3. Well, do you know that echo is throughout Scripture? Let me just flick through a couple of scriptures here. Isaiah 49, writing, you know, some 500-600 years before Christ. He says this, "It's too small a thing that you should be my servant," talking about Jesus, "ahead of time, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also make you a light of the nations so that my salvation may reach to the," where? "The end of the earth." See, Isaiah gets this. It's what's promised to Abram years and years, thousands of years before. Now Isaiah is a prophet. He's picking up, this is what's going to happen. That Jesus, the message of Jesus, who hasn't even come yet, but he will be proclaimed to the ends of the world. It's too small a thing just to say it's just for this tribe of people. No. Their job is to spread to the ends of the world. Acts 1:8. Sorry, let's go to Matthew. Matthew 28:19. Right at the end, Jesus says this. He says, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." Make disciples of what? All nations. All nations. All nations, not just the tribes around Israel, you know, the Middle East, but all nations. I mean, can you get further away from Israel than here? Possibly, I don't know. We're a long way away, New Zealand, probably further. Yeah, in many ways. There's Kiwis here. It's not all black season yet. We can be nice to them. What a promise. And in Acts 1:8, when the Holy Spirit comes, it doesn't just come to the people and say, "Hey, it's really nice to be loved and feel the Holy Spirit." No, he commissions them. He says, "You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you should be my witnesses in Jerusalem, local, Judea, state, Judea, Samaria, next country, and even to the remotest part of the earth." He says, "You're going to go out from here. You're going to expand." Can you see the pattern here? And guess what? You and I live between that promise and the end promise. This thing hasn't finished yet. It started way back in Abram's time, and it's going forward, but I'm telling you, I actually know the end. I've seen the finish. God told me what it's going to look like. Revelation. Great book, because it's the end of the story. Look at this. Revelation 7:9. John, one of Jesus' friends, in the spirit, is seeing all these things. And he says, "After these things, I looked and behold a great multitude which no one could count. From what? Every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palm branches were in their hand, seeing heaven." What does he see in heaven? Every nation, tribe, and tongue. That's the end story. See, God's told us. He's already told us that's the picture of what it's going to be like in heaven. Get used to a very multicultural, colorful place. Love it. So now, what does it mean for us? Rick did say he had to go, and he said, "I walk out in the middle of your sermon, it's not bad." Isn't that exciting? See, the church wasn't just raised for its own little context. The church was raised to influence the world, truly go beyond it. We're just starting that with a few little projects in Thailand and Kazakhstan and places like that. And you know, partnering with Ride, and Pastor Richard is a phenomenal man. I mean, he's in Bangladesh, about to go to Iraq. Bangladesh is tough enough, if you know anything about that. Send me some pictures that are quite graphic, just what's happening there. In Iraq, my goodness, is there a tougher place on the planet than churches? But has that ever stopped God's people planting churches and going to where it's tough? So what I'm saying for our church is that this can become a regional hub for church plants and extension services further out. People say the church is declining. They're wrong. They've got another thing coming. They haven't reckoned with a bunch of people who's passionate about Jesus, who believe their Bible and can see the end game. It's not going to be easy. It's going to take some bit of grunt and a bit of effort and a whole lot of favor. But I'd rather have a shot than just kind of go down the gurgler with the rest of society, wouldn't you? I'd rather go, you know what? We have an opportunity right now to step out and see what's going to happen. And here's the fun thing. It's for you and I individually. Do you know, as Israel, as the nation of Israel inherited that land, tribe by tribe, and actually kind of divided the land up, you know, into the people and tribes, guess what? Each individual family also received an inheritance in that land. They were planted. Each person actually received land and a blessing. So I see that as the church takes ground, so do the people. So do the people receiving the things that they need to live on, the land that they need to sow and reap, productivity for their families, favor of God over the rainfall back in those days. But, you know, for us, it's favor in workplaces. It's amazing to see even in his church the jobs that are coming and the promotions and the things that, wow, how did that happen? I see God's favor not just for the corporate body of the church or his people, it's actually for the individual as they live under the blessing of God. It's exciting. Who knows what will happen to our perhaps third decade of church, but that's what I dream. It's a place of global influence, of a regional hub to build. But right now, we're at the start of a second decade. And I see this very clearly as a time to sow in and to dig down. And as I pray into this building, the picture that I see is I see it, the whole thing lifted up on a great big crane. I've seen this a few times. And it's like, I says, it's up for the grabs. Do you want it? It's here. It's dangling in the air. And you know what I saw? I saw God's people, their hands raised. And those hands raised are guiding this thing down back into the kingdom of God. It's the prayer of the people and the desire of the people to see this thing land back into the kingdom. It's an exciting picture for the future.
Thanks for listening. We'd love to connect personally if you're in town. We meet on Sundays at 217 Howick Street for a 10:30 service. Or visit our website, c3churchbathurst.org.